It's a blessing to be able to share with you. I'm sitting in my study at home here in Fortaleza in the northeast of Brazil. And it's my great privilege to be able to share a little bit with you about who we are, what we're doing, and before I open the Word of God. So first of all, I'm Peter. I've lived in Brazil for 21 years. Stuart and Haley, great friends of mine from 30 years ago. And I know I am blessed and prayed for. We are blessed and prayed for by you as a fellowship. We live in the northeast of Brazil. Let me share a little bit about what that means. So here we are, Fortaleza, our city, northeast coast of Brazil, close to the equator, subtropical climate, hot all year round, 32 degrees every day, never changes, but we are close to the beach. So we do get away from the sun. Let me zoom out a little bit so you can see. There we are, zooming out, northeast coast of Brazil, an immense nation. And as you can see, South America appearing, and Africa, and the further up you go, the closer you get to England. So that's who we are. Another link I can show you. Who are we in Fortaleza? Well, we're the fifth largest city in Brazil, in one of those populous countries in the world. We have a population of about 3.5 million people. This slide shows you that we have 2.6 million people, but it's because it doesn't include the surrounding areas, as none of these statistics really do. But we are nonetheless the fifth largest city in this immense nation of Brazil. I can stop this share. Who are we in practical terms? Well, I can share this screen here just to show you a little bit of who we promote ourselves to be. We are YWAM Fortaleza, Youth with a Mission, meaning we have a great focus on young people, raising them up to do the work of Christ throughout the nations to fulfill the Great Commission. The image in the background you can see is one of our residential units here on our mission base. It's a place where short-term staff and students live as they go through our training schools, and are prepared to go to missions and work in various different aspects of mission life. And stopping the share, I'll talk a little bit with you about what we actually physically do. So we run a number of different programs. Training schools, where we train young people to prepare them for their calling in missions. It's called our discipleship training school. It's a 5-month program. Our outreach program from these schools goes across the nations. It can go anywhere. Our schools recently have had to stay in South America because of COVID, obviously. But we send teams to Haiti, to India, to China. Even have sent teams to England in order to spread the gospel. We have a night school that runs, which reaches out to people who can't commit themselves full-time to missions, but want to investigate our calling, which is to know God and make Him known. And we devote ourselves to preparing them for their calling, however God opens that door for them. We have a family ministry school, which we run. It's a 3-month school, an intensive school. People come and live with us for 3 months, and we give them intensive teaching in all questions pertaining to family. Why? So that we are better equipped to reach out to struggling families and families in crisis, of which, of course, there are many throughout the world, so that we can keep up to date with the changes in the nature of family, what the government is saying, what the world is saying, what the world believes, and we can bring to them the gospel in the context of family, and also so that we can train people to teach others how to work with families for the completion of the Great Commission. We also have a school called PMCA, which is Principles for Ministry to Children and Adolescents. It encompasses our work with King's Kids, which is an outreach program, discipleship and evangelism program for children and families. We have a community center called Friendly Hand, which reaches out to hundreds of kids and families in a specific community close to us, and not only reaching out to the community, but showing people how to be relevant in their communities. We have a football school, which I'm very fond of. I coach the kids myself. We have kids from under 9 through to under 20 playing. There are hundreds of kids registered at any given time, 80, 90 kids playing at any one time. Our teams are fairly successful. They are the apple of my eye, I should say. What's the objective? To raise up young men to be Christ-like and to fulfill the Great Commission. We have a new project being birthed. Stuart's been a part of the early seed sowing, and it's beginning to take shape. It's called Noble Men. It's intentional, intensive, and shameless discipleship of teenage boys. And this year, in 2021, it will become and start to take a very clearer shape as it starts to manifest itself in small groups and training programs. And I'm sure you'll hear more about this through Stuart in the days and years to come. And we also have our international outreaches where we go abroad, short-term outreaches with people from local churches. And we have our local outreaches where we go and serve in local communities. We even have a local community we're serving at the moment, which I can't actually say very much about, because there are certain difficulties that we're facing and that the community is facing that all we would ask you to do really is to pray. If you read a little bit about on the news about Brazil, you'll know the specific challenges that our communities and societies have, especially with violence and drug trafficking. We're involved in a community close to us where we really need your covering in prayer. We have a church support team which goes into churches and puts on seminars and training programs to assist the local church in preparing themselves for their local challenge. And we have a strong desire and a strong calling to prayer, to be a house of prayer for all the nations. This is our calling. We are the church. So that's who we are. We're YWAM, Youth of the Mission in Fortaleza, Northeast Brazil. And you are very welcome. We've had a visit from Stuart and from Curtis. We're ready to receive more of you to come and visit, to find out what we're doing, find out what God's doing in Northeast Brazil, and find out what God's wanting to do from here as he sends people from Brazil to the nations. I'll be back with you in just a minute. Stuart has asked me to share a brief word with you, and I have many words I'd love to share. I have a passion for my Lord Jesus and the opportunity to share, especially with folk who I love dearly, even through a Zoom video, is just such a privilege. But I want to share with you something that's on my heart, and I want to offer it to you as a word of inspiration and a challenge. The word I offer to you tonight is hierophanias. Hierophanias. Well, that's a strange word, you say, to begin a sermon or a biblical sharing. Well, the Bible is full of these things. What they are is they are revealing manifestations of holy things. They are things that you know, that you see, that reveal the nature of God to you, to me, to us, in a common and yet holy and out of this world manner. Well, let me give you an example. But perhaps one of the most obvious and simple biblical examples of this is John 14, verse 6. Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, why is that important? Why is that interesting in the context of what I'm sharing today? Well, it's because if you come across a tribe in an outlying part of Africa, and you want to present Jesus to them, but they've never heard of Jesus, they've never received a Bible, they've never seen the gospel in written form, or even heard it in audio form. But what do they know? What have they seen? What frame of reference do they have for what you are going to share with them in words? Well, the reality is that each one of them, every one of them, regardless of the remoteness of their tribe, each one of them has walked on a path. So when you say to someone, "Jesus is the way," everyone, it doesn't matter where they are in the world, they all know what a way is. A way is a beaten track that takes you from your Wattlandorp hut, the 3.5 kilometers to a pool of water for you to get water to take home for your family to drink. That's the way. This is what Jesus compared himself to. He says, "I am the way." People know the way. They know the path. The path is what takes you from one place where you are to another place where you want to go. This is a hierophania. It's a way. It's a revelation, a manifestation of something that is holy in a practical form. The truth. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Well, again, it doesn't matter how remote you are. It doesn't matter what culture you come from. It doesn't matter if you're Russian, Chinese, Indian, Brazilian, or English. If people start to talk to you about the difference between the truth and the lie, we all know what we're talking about. Everybody knows when someone is lying and they get caught, they'll be punished. So when Jesus says, "I am the way," everyone knows what that means. When Jesus says, "I am the truth," that is something which we're all part and parcel of, we all have an understanding and experience of the difference between the truth and untruth. And lastly, he says, I am the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Well, nobody needs any explanation of the difference between life and death. And nobody wants to absorb and embrace death. No culture in the world claims a love of death. But everybody claims a love for life, for living. And Jesus says, yeah, I am life. So what am I saying with this? I'm saying that the Word of God has given us many, many examples of ways in which Christ's nature, God's nature itself, is expressed to us in forms we already know about. Yeah, that's true. I mean, he talks about the dew, he talks about the rain, he talks about fire, the falling fire of the Holy Spirit. He even talks about the rock. I am the rock on which you stand. Now, he even compares living, building, and creating life with the rock and the sand, because we know the difference between the firmness of the rock and the lack of firmness of the sand. He talks about relationships. He talks about people, family, mothers, fathers, children. He talks about love. He talks about commitment. He talks about all the things that we as human beings are aware of in our day-to-day life. He doesn't pull any punches. He tells us that he is. He tells us that his Father is using things we already know. The word for it is hierofanias. It's actually an easier word to say in Portuguese than in English. Hierofania. But it still works in English too. It's not an English word or a Portuguese word. It's a Latin word. But the interesting thing about this is that these words, these holy manifestations of the truth of God that are written down in the Bible, they were already in life. They were already on the face of earth before the Bible was written. You know why that's important to realize? Because God hasn't given us just one simple way of being the truth or revealing the truth to those around us. He's given us a whole host of ways. Now, the ones that are most relevant and the most fundamental for us today are the Word of God. It's the written Word of God. We all know and understand it's the inspired Word of God. But he's also given us two other things, one which came even before the written Word of God, and that is the world, the created world, created by God himself, used to reveal the nature of the Maker, used to reveal the love that he has for the creation by creating. We even know of Christ as being the living water. Have you ever tried living without water? Very difficult. In fact, scientifically, it's proven that you can't do it for very long. Well, Christ says, well, yeah, you know what? That was my idea too. But there's a third way. There isn't just the created world. It isn't just the written word. There's a third way. And this is really why I'm in Brazil. This is really what happened to me. It took me out of my relative comfort teaching maths to boys at Bournemouth Grammar School. This is what took me away from the things that I thought I loved and brought me to a place where I became very uncomfortable. What is it? It's my life as a living testimony. People can see nature. People can see these comparisons, these hierofanias that are proclaimed throughout the gospel, that have been seen throughout time, the revelation of the Holy God through nature. They can read about it in the Word. They can see it confirmed and reaffirmed through the things that have been taught to us, through the psalmist, through the prophets, the minor prophets, through the Gospels, through the epistles, even through the prophecies of John, even through the words of Daniel. But I don't think that's where it's at. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that the way God really wanted to reveal himself to his children is through his children. And yeah, that's why I'm in Brazil. Because through my testimony, through the way in which I love people, through the way in which I reach out my hand and touch the wounds that people carry with them and show and demonstrate empathy and love unconditional love, that's when they see what these symbols actually mean. There's an unconditional love. It's an agape love that's given to all of us freely out of grace for us to pass on to others. You've heard me share a little bit about what we do in YWAM Fortaleza. My challenge to you is very straightforward. I know you pray for us. I know you give to us. I know you love us. I know you enjoy hearing our stories. But there's a challenge in this, isn't there? Are you being the testimony of life which reveals Christ through who you are, what you do, and what you say? Is your life like that? Are you doing and saying and being Christ in the world in which you live? Obviously, the invitation comes from me for you to come to Brazil and be part of what God's doing here. Call yourself a missionary. Call yourself a pastor. Give yourself a title. That won't change what God's given you to do as a task. He's revealed himself through nature. He's revealed himself through the written word. But he reveals himself mostly through our testimony. So I call with you. I call you. I ask you. I don't beg you. That's not the way God works. But I ask you to stop and consider. Are you stepping out and giving a testimony, a truthful testimony of the love of God in your life to those around you? Are you reaching your hand out so that people can see Christ in you and through you? And if you say yes, if your answer is yes to that question, I'd like to know how. I'd like to know when. I'd like to know where. I'd like to know what it's costing you. I'd like to know what stories you've got to tell. I'd like to know who are the people who've seen Christ in you and have said, I want it too. Who are the people who have been brokenhearted, downtrodden? Who are the people who've been rejected, who have discovered faith in Christ through your testimony? Who are the people who have been cast out, forgotten, and who, having come into contact with you and your testimony, have seen the revelation of Christ and have understood the love of God because they know you? Is that your reality? Oh, I really hope it is. I really hope it is. You're in a time of COVID. You don't know what's going on. Neither do I. But I do know one thing, that people still need to know that this love of God, which we know of, it has to be revealed through our testimony. So there's my challenge. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He used three concepts we already know about to affirm that he is what he says he is. But he will confirm it when people see that lived out in your life. God bless you. God bless you tremendously. Thank you for blessing us. And I really ask you, please tell these stories. I would love to hear them. And please come. The invitation is open. But please, more than anything, live your life as a living testimony to the love, the unconditional love that God has poured out with grace over your life so that other people can see it. Amen.